Join Helen on Inspired Radio, 10 to 12 p.m. Mondays, Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Welcome back, everyone. Helen here, Inspired Radio. I hope you enjoyed the last hour. I think I had a few brain cells fried in all of that, and I was aware of a lot of that information. So a lot to digest and a lot to ponder for sure, because that message, that information just doesn't get out there to the mainstream. So welcome back. I'm here for the second hour. This is my first day of doing 2 hours, and I've got my guest here with me, Adele Braun. Hi, Adele. Welcome.
Hi, Helen. Thanks for having me.
Can you say that again for me?
Thank you for having me.
Good. I just wanted to make sure you're coming through loud and clear. So let me just tell you a little bit about Adele. Adele's a remedial massage therapist, or she was in a past existence, right? Owner of a physiotherapy clinic. She's executive assistant and VMA project lead for Eastern Metro Region of Victoria. That sounds like a hell of a mouthful,
sounds
Adele. Mum of three and an incredible woman. That's what I put down.
Helen.
Welcome, welcome. This show is about change, and it's about, you know, being, I just want to have conversations about where you've changed in your life. And I just find that when we talk about that, we inspire others in our own little way without even realizing.
Absolutely.
And you've got some pretty cool stories to tell.
I do.
So what do we start with?
What do we start with? That's a really good question.
Well, I like the one about the you can't have children.
Yes,
Adele.
Absolutely. So that was told to me by numerous medical professionals.
So they said that outright.
Yes. Yeah. They said if you want to have kids, you'll have to go through IVF. There's no way that you could possibly conceive with the endometriosis that I had, and proved them wrong. So it was a crazy journey.
And what happened next? So you were told you can't have kids,
yes.
Right? That's a big pill to swallow.
Absolutely, and I definitely went on a bit of a negative spiral and...
Big black hole?
Yeah, big black hole. Then decided, no, let's go and seek alternative advice. So I went to a Chinese medicine practitioner, had acupuncture, did the full-on Chinese medicine where I had all the herbs and everything I had to boil up. And lo and behold, within, I think, 2 months, I was pregnant with my first
baby. Wow. Yeah. So the medical system said, no,
yes. You
can't. And if you want to try, then you have to go down an expensive and a really invasive route,
yes.
From what I've heard from people that do IVF.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you had the wherewithal to go, I want to seek some alternative methods.
Absolutely. And I think I was probably doing work with you at the time, Helen, so that probably helped matters as well and made me a lot more clear about...
Just for people out there, I just do guidance sessions, a bit of counselling and things like that, but we had... It's about good conversations and thinking about change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was also very important, I feel. And, so then I did have a bit of a hiccup, I suppose, when I was about... 4 weeks away from my due date, I ended up having an ovarian cyst that was very large that I was told again by medical professionals, no, that would never burst. That's never happened in there.
So they found a cyst.
I had a cyst there the whole time. That was one of the reasons they
through the pregnancy
that I could conceive on one of my ovaries. So,
and
then that cyst actually burst and they said it wouldn't, but I became the talk of the hospital because no one could believe that it had happened.
It's not the way you want to get notoriety, is it?
No, not really. So, so Zahara, my eldest, she arrived a little bit early, but it was all okay. And I did end up having a whole lot of surgeries after that. That's a whole other story, really.
Yes.
But again, because the surgeries after that, I had to have my left ovary completely removed and fallopian tube, etc. And again, it was back to the, you definitely will not be able to conceive.
No. So you'd had one baby against all odds.
Yes.
And there were other little barriers to surpass, like the cyst and then the surgeries, and back to the same conclusion, no more kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but then this time I think I was a bit more wise and, I realised that, no, I can do this, and went again, did Chinese medicine, and again became pregnant within 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, because I'm we all think that medicine has all the answers and they're the authority, right? They're the authority.
Absolutely.
What is it like to go against that?
It feels a bit uncomfortable in the sense of when you are still seeing some medical practitioners and telling them what you're doing, there's definitely a bit of disbelief and...
They're not going good on you, Adele?
Not at all. Absolutely not at all. Not wanting to believe that that was what helped me despite what had been said to me. So I suppose it was a bit uncomfortable in that sense, but it was definitely good for me because it certainly reaffirmed to me that the medical path is not the only path. So
okay, yes. Yeah, and we're not boo-hooing it at all. We're just saying that if they give you an outcome, that maybe you should have the wherewithal to have a look at other alternatives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And three children later.
Yes.
You've proved them all wrong.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. And thank you for going there, like, because this is such a personal, very personal topic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So, you know about getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, oh yes.
Yes, very much. Tell me, there's another area of your life too. Well, it happens to all of us. Tell me about being stuck.
Ooh, yes, being stuck. What can I tell you about being stuck? I've been stuck a lot of times, I guess. And one of the most recent times that I was very, very, very stuck was in relation to our business, because having been involved with it, it was always my husband's dream, I guess. He's a physio, so he really wanted to open his own business, and I sort of supported that and went along for the ride, so to speak, and retrained as a remedial massage therapist and also did practice management diploma too. So I was sort of running the business and had a lot of ownership in that regard. But
you were a good partnership.
Yeah, we were. We did, and we worked well together. But I guess I became... there's a few points along that journey where I became stuck, and one of them I remember clearly was when I first met you, Helen. I was doing a course, a training sort of business coaching thing, I guess you'd call it, and that definitely helped me not be so stuck, because I was very stuck with in regards to me being able to build a caseload of clients, because I didn't really have a belief in myself that I was a good massage therapist because I was just starting out. So that process with that business coach really helped that. And then the next big stuck moment was when I realized, I guess it was post the COVID times, that the business wasn't doing so well, and I had, you know, the three kids, and I just really wanted my husband to sell the business. So I thought that was the right thing to do and that he was stuck. So I was, you know, putting it onto him. And
so hang on, let's go back. The first time you were stuck was when, so he wanted to be a physio, and he created and you co-created with you the physio practice.
Yes.
You were a massage or a medium massage therapist, so you were trying to find your own feet and you were feeling stuck.
Yes.
So he was trucking along and getting all that going, and you were practice manager as well, so you were fine with that, but it was your personal your personal terrain being massage that you felt stuck and you were trying to find answers for.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And so you went and you did a course. So was it the course that changed you, or was it the people you did the course with?
Oh, well, I know the answer to that. I definitely, the people I met, I believe it was, and I guess some of the mindset changes that I had in that time as well, just the belief of what I could achieve and create, I guess.
So we've got to step out of our comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Don't we?
Yes.
And that could be a course.
Yeah.
And it could be the people that we meet.
Yes.
But we get rewarded, do we, for stepping out of our comfort zone?
Sometimes it's not immediately obvious, but I believe in the long term you do. And I obviously can look back now and say, oh, that all happened.
Welcome back, everyone. Helen here, Inspired Radio, with my lovely guest, Adele. And before we go any further, that song was... Bigger Than All of Us by Above and Beyond and Justine Sousa. So, Adele, the second stuck.
Yes.
What happened during COVID, you said, happened with your business?
Yeah, so, I mean, there was a lot that happened in COVID, but the aftermath as a small business, I suppose, was that we financially weren't, just wasn't sustainable to have me on unless I was... seeing clients and being a massage therapist. I didn't really want that. responsibility, I guess, anymore, and was really quite resistant to going back to that in any, you know.
You were just torn, really, weren't you? You were a mum of three,
yes,
and working on a business,
yes,
and torn about how to find some balance, I suppose.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I thought the solution was to just sell up the whole thing and then get my husband to find something different, because surely that would be easy. And I tried to push him into a few opportunities, shall we say, that I saw in relation to doing physiotherapy work, working with surgeons directly, things like that. And he got interviews, of course, but then they just sort of kind of tanked on the interviews and it didn't happen. And I was thinking, oh, it's his fault. Why is this not working? And then had a big realization. I can't tell you the exact moment that I realized it, but I kind of went, wow, it's me. I'm the problem here. I'm the one that needs to get out of this, not him. And that was seen really scary, right? Because having been out of, I guess, the workforce in the sense of being an employed person through another organization and being my own boss since 2009, pretty much.
Yeah.
That was just, yeah, a big deal. So,
well, we wrap up a lot of our identity around,
yes, we do,
who we are as Absolutely. In a job and position. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit like having an identity crisis.
Yeah, pretty much. Because then I went on, I thought, no, I should be an entrepreneur. I should be able to run my own business and do something from home that gives me flexibility. And then I delved into that and set up an online business, and that was really hard. So
a lot to learn.
A lot to learn. And then realised not great with sales, so that was not for me. And, yeah, then ended up finding, you know, went for a couple of job interviews and just found two different jobs that ended up, well, one of them I did for a short term, just doing surveys for people, and then the other one, yeah, was my job at EV. So mm-hmm. that was, yeah, a huge change just for our family as well, and just, yeah, in terms of my identity and not being my own boss anymore. So it did challenge me in that regard.
Very different.
Yeah, I still feel like it's given me, you know, a different focus and taking me outside to really focus. I know you asked me the other day, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And that was a good question, because I haven't really been looking forward to 5 years. And I realised that, no, I'm where I'm meant to be at the moment, because I do have some flexibility around the family, and I'm making new connections all the time. And yeah, so, but I have also thought down the track where I want to be. So watch this
space. So let's go back to the change, right, yes. Where you must have been feeling something internally, like you wanted a change, but yeah. You misinterpreted that signal for yes. this whole physiotherapy
yes,
centre
absolutely.
Needs to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when you zoned in and targeted your husband
yes.
and said that. Well, so I suppose it was the overheads. It was because during COVID, a lot of businesses got hit.
Yes.
Money-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there was support from the government, financial support, but that all felt like it had strings attached as well. And
yeah.
And in some ways, I think it masked a lot of problems with businesses, you know, because there was some money coming in. So you think, oh, yeah, we're doing okay. But then once it went, it was like you're on your own, sink or swim. And we were sinking slowly. So
you're not the first person, business owner, I've yeah. heard to say that. It was yeah. like you were given all the regulations and
yes.
given all the scope and
yeah.
stuff, but no assistance on yeah. how to implement things and how to keep your business
Absolutely.
Going.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I think as well, because it sort of did change the landscape for physiotherapists, well, for a lot of businesses, I guess, that were people facing as well,
mm-hmm.
because you still had a lot of, and you still do to this day, so many people. This
well, especially
year,
the health industry, you're
100%,
part of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear of, or just even, you know, people cancelling last minute. That's always an issue in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly worse now because, I guess, you know, people have a slight cough or cold. They don't want to come in and it's, yeah, so.
So you were looking for change
yes.
and you were looking at minimising the overheads because it was really getting tough
yes.
and COVID did not help with
yeah.
all of that. You wanted to minimise those overheads and find some security,
yeah.
really, in some way, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yep. So then your husband goes out and does a few interviews and does and has a look at a few things.
Yes.
Isn't it funny, though? It's
yeah.
like when it's your – we're all – as far as I'm concerned, I see that we're all in our own personal reality. There's 8 billion realities
yeah.
functioning out there in the world, right?
Yes.
And so you've got your bubble
yes.
and you want him to do something with his bubble, but if the intention's not coming from him,
absolutely,
how does that work?
Well, it doesn't work, does it?
You found that out.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying that more for couples out there, like, because I've seen this many times. I just remember the first time I ever saw it, had friends of mine, a couple, she wanted to sell the house and move somewhere else and he didn't. And over a few years, she kind of talked him into it, but he seemed to be on board, but then they couldn't sell the house. Like it just sat on the market and it wouldn't move and it wouldn't move. And that's kind of what you experienced, didn't you?
Absolutely.
That's when you realise you're both not on the same page.
Particularly, I think almost the final straw was he agreed to get the business valued through, you know, these people that contacted
brokers and things.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then realised, wow, you know, one, he was holding up on submitting the paperwork he needed to. And then once he got back, you know, the figure that they said you could sell it for, that was when I realized he was like, he doesn't want to do this. I'm making him trying to make him do something because he knew I was miserable, so I guess.
But that's pretty insightful, Adele.
Yeah.
Right, because I don't think that happens to everyone.
Yeah
So you got to pat yourself on the back a bit for that one.
Yes. So yeah, but I think as well he didn't want to see me leave the business. So when that became apparent that that's what I was going to go and do, was going, you know, go find another job. And
because he saw you as an integral part of the business, which you had been for a long time.
But it's actually been amazing.
So you were scared to change.
Yeah.
And he was scared for you to change.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think as well it's interesting because when we did it, we had to make some redundancies. So I was made redundant, and I think nothing speaks louder to your team as well, going, wow, actually, because I think we'd always shielded everyone in the business from the financial struggles.
I remember we had many conversations. You really looked after your people.
Yeah, we tried to. And, yeah, so I think that was really, it shook everyone up quite a bit, that it was redundancy and that was it. I sort of cut off in a sense. I think some people thought that we were getting a divorce or something was happening behind the scenes with our relationship, which
they were trying to figure out what was really going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely, but it wasn't. And it, I really had to just make a clean breakaway because for so many reasons, but it was better that way. But you know,
that's interesting too, because you changing your identity and your trajectory affects others.
It does
around you. What does it do for them? I wonder if it just unsettles their identity as well.
Possibly. Well, I know for my husband as well, he really, you know, initially, when it first happened, he was kind of, and I almost wanted this is terrible, this is not a very nice side of me, but I kind of wanted him to struggle, you know, like to see what I did, you know, because I often felt that in the behind the scenes, I did a lot that wasn't considered because he would be doing the work, which was seeing patients and clients. And when I was doing the stuff, working on the business and looking after the staff and doing all the other bits and bobs you have to do, I didn't feel like that was appreciated.
Right.
And so when he had to start doing that, but it was actually fantastic. And we had this conversation together recently where I said he really had to step up as the owner, as the manager, and also delegate, because I'm a control freak. And so I wouldn't delegate things to any of the staff because I'd think, nope. If you want it done properly, do it yourself, that mentality.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's been actually fantastic to sit back and really watch him figure it out too. Like there was a few times, of course, I would help when he really needed, because, you know, there's lots of things like accounts and things that I was had to log into or whatever. But I've handed that all over now. And, he's been able to figure it out. So,
and there was method in your madness because, I mean, you probably already knew that what comes out of struggle. Growth, right? You know, it's absolutely. You either sink or swim.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was definitely a difficult time for a number of reasons, and even for our family, for our kids to see what was going on, and they were a little bit uncertain as well. So it did affect them too. Mm. Speaking of other people being affected, but then it's been really nice to see how they see it now. And when they talk about the two older ones, obviously the youngest one's not
the
three,
ones that so are old enough to see.
But the two older ones really, they understand it. They've come in to see where I work and see that you know, I have a role there and people know me and, oh, this is where mummy goes to work and it's different to...
It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful that, like, what you're saying, that the whole family got to actually benefit eventually.
Yeah.
Because change creates chaos, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I've always said that chaos is the precursor of change. So I always see that if we've got all our ducks in a row and we want change, then all the ducks aren't in a row for a while, right? They rearrange themselves or something. That's just an analogy that I've had for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really chaotic, right? Because it's like, and you have to be okay with that until everything settles back down into a new sort of order.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, everyone. Helen and Inspired Radio. I am here with Adele. Let's keep going with this great conversation, Adele. Thank you for being so frank and so open as well, because, you know, we need to talk about the ups and downs in our lives.
Absolutely.
Because it's the wins that really inspire people.
Yes, yeah? Absolutely. But
yes.
The other side to it as well.
Hey?
There's the other side to it as well. So
there is, there is. But any time we make a change, there is some degree of chaos.
Yes.
Everything feels all out of control and you feel like, you know, it's all over the place. And at some stage it all falls back into place, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So there's hope.
So cycles.
Yes.
It's about cycles.
Absolutely.
You had a few of those in your life?
Yes. Certainly have. Yes.
So tell me about the cycles of losing your voice. You're the only woman I've ever met who has cycles of completely losing your voice.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm sick. It's usually when there's some issue that I'm not dealing with.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
So you've started to figure out why your body's talking to you? Is it telling you something?
Yep. It's just telling me to stop. And it's usually, when I've been pushing myself too hard with something that doesn't align with me.
Wow, so you've got this default mechanism in your body.
Yeah, it shuts me up.
That shuts you up.
Yep, and the timing of it is always, it's very interesting.
You've figured it out
finally,
now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it was bewildering at first.
It was, yeah, sort of very frustrating, and got focused on all of that stuff. But no,
okay.
No.
So when we talk about cycles of it, does it happen on a yearly basis? Is it a 6-monthly basis? Like, is there?
Well, touch wood, it actually has not happened for quite some time now, which is good.
Mm.
It's usually in terms of a cycle. It's more when I get to a point. Yeah, when I'm run down and pushing myself too hard and, just going in the wrong direction with something. So, or there's something that's bothering me that I'm not dealing with.
Right.
It could be work, it could be family,
Yes.
My husband, or it could be even a friendship issue or something like that. It's a big thing that's been...
But there's an issue and your body gets your attention and it does it by stopping you from being able to speak.
Yes.
That's incredible. Isn't it?
It is.
This thing that we live in is pretty extraordinary. It's capable of many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
Many things.
Yeah.
So tell me about corporate, because we did touch on this with my last guest as well, and I'm having my own experiences with the beasts of corporate and what's going on, and you're right amidst all of them.
Yeah.
You're in the local government and other corporate arenas. Are they working?
No, they're not. And they often work against each other. So I guess my part in it, because again, I thought about that a bit more after we caught up last time, thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing in amidst all of this? One, I want to understand more about it from within. And I'm hopeful to be able to make some sort of change. At what level, I'm not quite sure yet. But watch this space. Because someone said something to me the other day about how they could see me in some sort of position that I would not have seen myself, and that's planted a seed.
Okay.
So, I just think what I've witnessed is there's just a lot that is not right, and it needs to change.
Corporates, it's changed immensely. Like I, when I'm talking corporate, I'm talking about banks and, you know, other government systems and social systems and things. But I remember that, you know, even 20 years ago, you could ring up a company and you'd get somebody who would answer the phone and they would find out what you wanted and they'd put you through to somebody in particular who would then help you.
Yes.
Now we get, you know, push one for this, push two for that. Yep. And then once you've done that, you get another menu of push one and push two. And then you usually invariably get somebody who just wants to really be nice and have a conversation with you. And I'm not being anti them, but it's like they really, they're not in a position of any sort of leadership or any experience. They're vetting you and they get a whole heap of information off you and then they're trying to figure out what they can do and who they can put you through. Mm-hmm. And it's such a long-winded and it's just such a uncomfortable process that seems to be about, there's a lot of labels, there's a lot of names for people these days, there's a lot of people having meetings, plenty of people having
of
meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
And not doing much of anything else because I'm looking outside the window and I don't see a lot of good change.
No, and I think there's a lot of red tape, but there's a lot of rules and restrictions and everything's, there's reasons why things haven't been done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly more of the government / local government perspective, I think, too.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
It's the model.
It is. And I think as well, people in the roles that they're in, it's not like they're bad people, but they're very, very strict about what they get involved in and what they can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's not a lot they can do, you know, really.
Yeah.
Even at the higher levels, it's very interesting. So, yeah, coming from someone like me who I'm a doer and a fixer, it's very interesting to sit back and just kind of watch
the wheels just spin.
Yeah, absolutely. And just think, oh, what is needed? Like what will it take to create some sort of meaningful change?
Yes. And I think you and I had a conversation about this because I had a bit of an insight that how do you change somebody? Because for those listeners out there that haven't read my book, I've been a drug addict and a drug dealer. How do you change somebody who's on drugs or alcohol mm-hmm. if you haven't been on drugs or alcohol?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can.
No.
And that's why I question some of the systems that we've got out there.
Yes.
As to whether they can actually do that or they can just spin wheels.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, there is some good in the sense of there are programs that at least are looking towards that peer support rather than just getting people who may have a qualification behind them that supposedly says that they can help people.
Geez, we're opening up a real sort of box here, aren't we?
I know.
Sorry. And not meaning to. I mean, we just want to open it up and flesh it out. We're not saying that having sort of a piece of paper and certification and all that qualifications is not right or wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that personal experience, you can relate immediately to somebody.
Absolutely. I think that would be much more beneficial for people in certain situations than, someone coming along and basically saying do this or do that with no real understanding.
In corporate arenas then, is it about the people?
Well,
or is it about having meetings about the people?
Yeah, I would say that is, yeah.
Unfortunately, I think we've just gotten it too large, and the scope kind of turns away from what it really is all about.
Absolutely. No, I agree. It's getting lost, unfortunately. And I think things get rolled out, you know, different funding from the government gets rolled out in specific ways that's not, you know, it's just not really well thought out in terms of, you know, if you have a large amount of money, they put it towards something, it looks like they're doing a lot.
Right.
For people, for instance.
Yep.
But
based on a lot of money being spent.
Right. And then, oh, yes, that'll show impact or whatever they look at. Impact being just the amount of people who supposedly benefit from it, but they're just numbers. They're not.
It's figures. Yeah,
it's
figures. Yes.
It's not the, you know, qualitative data that they're looking at. So I guess that's really frustrating to see.
Yes.
That shouldn't be the real true indicator of whether something's been successful or not.
Mm.
And I think often, I know there's funding that's been recently rolled out that is being given to multiple agencies, and I just sort of think how it just, you know, it hasn't been thought through properly, because if it was given to one peak person who then could engage other services, then you could, you know, probably do a lot more with it. Whereas it just seems to me like you give a little bit out to a whole lot. It's not, you know, you might look like you've got more numbers and you're helping more people, but
it's not filtering down to where it's needed.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a problem, isn't it? Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We're nearly at the top of the hour. We're 10 minutes to go. I'm here, Helen, here, Inspired Radio, and you were just listening to Big Jet Plane by Angus and Julia Stone. I'm here with Adele, and we're talking about Adele's working in the system, in the corporate system, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I certainly am.
What's the arena that you're in? What would you call it? It's not disability.
Well, it's community service, really.
Community service.
Yeah, I guess you would say.
Yeah, so what do? They serve the disability, NDIS kind of
NDIS,
industry?
NDIS, but also they've got aged care system.
Okay.
The fund system as well. That's like the community transport arm of things. And then my particular program, I work with people with disabilities and First Nations people, newly arrived migrants.
Yes.
Et cetera.
So it's as corporate as it can get, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you were talking about how the government gives them a whole bunch of money, whole bunch of money goes in there, and then it goes to the top of some other corporate entity and slowly filters it way down. Does it get to the bottom?
I mean, the figures would show that it does in terms of, I suppose, for some really tangible things like the community transport side of things, in terms of people getting, you know, from A to B.
People get transported around.
So they do. Mm-hmm. They get that. They have to pay some out of pocket, but there's some of it's funded. So that is a, I guess, tangible outcome.
Yes.
Although there are flaws, I guess, in that model. But in terms of some of the other projects, it is hard to see real, true, tangible results, I guess, for people. Like whether they're really, they kind of hope that I've helped reduce barriers for people to volunteer, but it's a very difficult thing. Know whether you really actually, you know, organisations will say that they're being more inclusive of people and things, but
And with a lot of these systems, only certain people are eligible. There's all this criteria that people have to now fit, right? Yeah. If you don't fit into this box or this box,
absolutely,
then we can't help you. Because I remember just as a counsellor myself, I had a client who had just had a really traumatic event happen to her. And after working with her a couple of times, I realised she needed some respite. She just needed a week away from her child, from her family, to just not be responsible for anything, just to rest and recoup. And I rang a number of the systems that are around to try and find some sort of help for her. And ultimately, I came to the conclusion that unless she was about to get kicked out on the street, or unless she was about to be bashed senseless or something along those lines, they couldn't help her.
Yeah, which is terrible. It's terrible. And that unfortunately is the case for a lot of people. So,
because again, it seemed to be about the numbers.
Yep. And meeting these things and, having to jump through hoops to get things. It's just, it's very difficult.
Yes. So, I mean, do you get a degree of frustration working in that system?
Well, absolutely. And I guess that's why, you know, like I said, you're making me think about, where do you want to be in 5 years? And I think, well, how can I, what position or what point do I need to get to where I can actually make true change? So watch this space. I'll let you know when I know. But, that'll be my next focus.
There. So what do we do? What do we do? Can we change the system from inside the system?
Well, I think to a degree you can. So, I'm hoping that it would be possible to do that. Yeah, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
Because I think you get lost in the system, which I know you warned me about as well, not getting lost in that system.
And well, it's a bit
very
like
easy to do.
It's a bit like a portal, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can get comfortable and you can, I guess, not want to buck the system. But, I'm hoping that that won't be the case.
I'm sorry, I've just gone a bit blank here because my screen's gone blank, so I'm using a screen I can see in the next room to try to figure out what I'm doing. So
at your finest.
Oh, probably. We're back on. Sorry, everybody, for the little glitch there. Where were we?
talking about making, can we truly change things from within the system? I don't know. I think you can hopefully, I'd hope to inspire others to create change or even just, yeah, be able to get on board with the true message, because I think that's the thing too, people that are stuck in the system that are trying to influence things happening for people outside and who are trying to access things from that system, it does get messy.
There's firewalls all over the place.
There is.
Yeah? Yes. And I remember here at this radio station, Alan had a guest on, and she was, I think her name was Maureen, and she was from the Millgrove Residents Action Group.
Yeah.
And I just had to sit in and listen to that because I was learning how to do the radio shows at that stage.
Yeah.
And I was kind of inspired because this woman had been doing it for 20 years, running the Residents Action Group for Millgrove.
Yeah.
650 people in the Millgrove area.
Yeah.
She was liaising between local government and the community,
yes,
to build certain things, to clean their pathways and waterways, to construct buildings, to put, different power options and stuff on community roofs. And
yeah,
also, and I just listened to her and I thought, why do we need local government then? Why couldn't Maureen be the local government for the Millgrove area? And why couldn't we have little communities in suburbia that were all running and connecting with the locals at that level?
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That'd and get rid of the middleman.
Yeah, for sure. And you never know, that might be the case one day because...
Well, I'm just thinking, because you're saying, I'm asking you, how do you change the system from within the system?
Mm.
Seems pretty insurmountable.
I guess it can seem like that, but like you say, if there's people within the community as well who believe they can make a change, because I think that's the thing too. A lot of people that I've met, even through this role, the ones that, you know, they're at every event, they're always very active out there in the community. They're the ones who make, you know, the influence, because they've, you know, they've got friends in high places, as the saying goes. You know people from within the systems, and then they will go around and
there's a beautiful word that describes them. They're called mavens.
Mavens.
Go look it up, folks. They're called mavens. Yes. They are just naturally inclined to connect, connect people.
So maybe that'll be my role.
They do a really good job of it. Yeah. And that's good that you brought that up too, because we're not saying that it's anything to do with the people.
Yeah.
Anything to do with the people. I just think that the more we become corporate and big and about money and all that sort of thing, the people in that, working in it like you, get lost in amongst that system.
Yes.
And then the people that you're taking care of kind of get lost in that system too.
Absolutely. Very true.
Yeah.
True. So
you're still changing the world, still changing your life?
I think so.
What's next, do you reckon?
We'll have to see. Let's see where this conversation even today leads me.
Because you're just like a creative machine.
I am.
Yeah.
I've just got to use it for good.
Yes. Well, you've had so many ideas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I really have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what would the next idea be? Come on. Crazy. Give us a crazy option.
Well, maybe I need to be a maven out there and, doing the connecting, because I am good at that. So.
Right.
That's what I need to do.
Because this isn't your first stint on radio either.
No, it's not.
So you've been on 3MDR and you've been on Eastern Radio.
Yeah, and 3WBC as well.
And what are you doing when you do that? Are you the voice or are you giving others the voice?
I've been giving others the voice. Yeah, so I think I was the voice in one of them. But, in terms of talking about others, yes.
Yeah, maybe you are the maven.
Maybe.
Sounding like that. All right, so... What would you say then to everyone listening who is feeling stuck at the moment?
Not to give up and to focus, and I guess just to be open about what it could be that's keeping you stuck. You know, it might be you. You might be in your own way. And just looking at things with a different lens and a different focus and perspective, which is very hard to do, but not having the same, because I think we tend to stick to the same narrative a lot about ourselves as well.
Oh, I hear what you're saying too. It's like, when we're stuck and whatever and we've got a problem, sometimes we keep it to ourselves.
Yeah.
don't we?
We do.
And we started there today that you went out and you went and did a course and you met some people, right?
Yep.
So that's what we're going to tell people to do, aren't we? It's like if you're feeling stuck...
Get uncomfortable.
Go talk to someone about it.
And go tell and do something maybe that you wouldn't normally do, or something. Go to a group or go meet people. But yeah, get outside your comfort zone. That definitely is... That is truly... pushes you.
Yeah. So. But you really have to talk about it,
yes,
don't you?
Absolutely.
Get it out there. Because when you talk it out, you work it out.
Yeah, love it.
That's brilliant. What a great place to stop. Hey, we're done. We're done for today. Thank you so much, Adele. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. And thank you for your insight. And thank you for being uncomfortable at times.
Thanks.
And changing. All right, love. See you, everybody. I will see you all next Monday from 10 to 12. Bye for now.